Welcome to Lugano Pico Sinodian Church online service on Pentecost Sunday, which is 23rd of May 2021. I'm Irun Kim, the minister of LPUC. Today you can find lots of red in the church. Red is the color for Pentecost, and it represents God's love, fire, and the Holy Spirit. Whereas white is for Christmas and Easter, purple for Advent and Lent, then green for Ordinary Sunday. Can you find the symbol of Pentecost here in this room? And for example, on my stole, on scarf, can you see this Holy Spirit symbolized by the dove descending with a flame of fire? And also on the United Church, hang on, I would say the banner first, and you can see. Actually, you cannot see it from the screen, but you will see the things on the right, left-hand side of this video. And Uniting Church logo actually shows of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the bottom part, wide U, and points to the fact that we are uniting. As a semicircle, it also reminds us that the renewing of both church and world are as yet incomplete. Holy Spirit, symbolized by the dove with the wings of flame, empowers and guides us to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, everything is new. Let us begin the service by watching a Pentecost video.
This is Pentecost. Everything is different. Everything is new. Everything. This is the birth of the church. The wind swirls, the hurricane blows, the stale air is forced out, the dust disappears in an instant. The air is fresh, the light is all around, the Holy Spirit enters our lives and we become a new creation. It turns us around, turns our lives upside down, blows away the stale and old. Christ enters our lives and we are made new. We are made whole. This is the birth of the church. We are gathered here in this place, in this time, to be something new, to refresh the old, to reboot the past, to be the church God created us to be the new creation. This is the Pentecost. God is here. Christ is here. The Spirit is here, and we are part of it. We are the new creation.
Today, as to illustrate the people on the day of Pentecost being filled with the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, I'm going to light this fire burner, ethanol fire burner, to show the flame of fire. Can you see the flame? But the flame will be obviously shown later. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Holy Spirit came to Jesus' disciples hidden in an upper room in Jerusalem. A violent wind and tongues of fire were the symbols of a new thing happening in their lives. May your Holy Spirit burst into our lives today, encouraging and inspiring us to proclaim boldly the good news of Jesus Christ, who offers healing and hope to all people. Amen. Let us worship God by singing the first song, Consuming Fire.
Consuming Hello everyone, my name's Jan and I'm going to share the Bible reading with you today. And the reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21 and then 37 to 41, starting at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And from verse 34, for David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Remember on the first day of Pentecost, the disciples had been hiding out together, excited and frightened about what happened at Easter, but even more frightened about what might happen to them next. There are really two Pentecost miracles. One, the uneducated disciples spoke foreign languages. And then secondly, the frightened disciples spoke bravely and publicly about Jesus Christ. Especially in today's text, the first and last lines of Peter's sermon are key for us. God's Spirit was poured out on everyone, and everyone who welcomed God's Spirit was saved, belonged to God. This Pentecost, perhaps we could take time to ask ourselves these questions. How do we react if these events took place today? What do we do differently if the birth of the church was taking place in the times we find ourselves living in just now? Would we step out and open ourselves up to the stirring of the Holy Spirit to renewal and to new life for our communities and congregations? Will we pray that the mighty shaking wind, the Holy Spirit, will come upon us and renew us? Are we prepared to allow her to stir our church afresh with the divine deeds of power? Are we prepared, like Peter, to humbly and boldly stand with those who are being shaken by this violent wind?
This life I live is not my.
is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is a movable feast which is celebrated on the fifth day or the seventh Sunday from Easter Sunday. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Jesus Christ while they were in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of Weeks, as described in Acts chapter 2. However often the term Pentecost is confused with Pentecostal, which is a church denomination. Today we are going to talk about Pentecost when the church was born, how the church alive in the world, how this fire burning, this spirit moving makes us to be new and witnesses of Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples in the upper room heard the sound like the rush of a violent wind. When they experienced of the wonder and power of that rushing wind, they were immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, something truly amazing happened. As I said earlier, there are really two Pentecost miracles. First, the uneducated disciples spoke foreign languages. And second, the frightened disciples spoke bravely and publicly about Jesus Christ. If you look at verses 17 and 14, which is the first and last lines of Peter's sermon, they are key for us today. God's Spirit was poured out on everyone, and everyone who welcomed God's Spirit was saved, belonged to God. So what was new? What changes were happened when the Holy Spirit was coming? First, suddenly, Peter, who had denied Jesus, even knowing Jesus, became a new person. Peter, who was hiding behind the locked doors after Jesus' death, afraid for his very life, now stood and addressed the crowd. Peter addressed that the disciples were not drunk, but filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he proclaimed to the spectators all that God had done in Jesus Christ. See verse 22. What Peter says here is that God endorses, supports his son by doing miracles, like turning water into wine, healing the sick, driving out demons, and even controlling nature as when Jesus calmed the storm at sea. God fulfilled his own divine plan for his son by letting the Roman government nail him to a cross and murder him. The cross was not accident. Over and over again, we are reminded that the cross is in the eternal plan of God. We must never set God and Jesus against one another, making God heavy, angry, and wrathful, and Jesus sweet and gentle and loving. It was by God that Jesus came. And the final stamp of God's favor was placed on his son when he brought him back to life again. 3 days God felt were long enough to prove his point, and he raised Jesus from the dead. The ugly dictator of the death lost his grip on Jesus. He simply couldn't get a good hold on him. So what was new, what changes were happened when the Holy Spirit was coming? Second, Peter proclaimed to the crowd that now we are witnesses, we are participants in the resurrection. See verse 32, it says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. As we have known all that God had done in Christ and understood of his divine plan, we now get to be involved in Christ's life, be a part of it, and tell everybody what God has done. We can tell every doubters that we meet of Christ's life. It is like the Emmaus Road disciples. We can tell others how our own hearts have been strangely warmed when we encountered with the risen Christ. We can reassure the doubters that at their invitation he will also walk with them and eat with them and stay with them. We can also witness to those doubters like Thomas that Jesus lets them know how fully he understands. He knows about our doubts of him, but he doesn't doubt us in return. Jesus stoops down to where the doubt is. There's always in the direction that God walks. Down from heaven to earth. Down from creator to savior. Down from glory to shame. Down from the divine to become a human. In his encounter with Thomas, Jesus lowers himself again, going right down into the soul of the man that cannot believe. We have been there too, haven't we? We are witness to our own feeble, frail faith and our damaging and damning doubts. But he came down to us too and showed up our reeling faith with a word of peace be with you. What happened then? Faith comes to Thomas and he responds, my Lord and my God. There are side benefits to this kind of participation. Our own faith is strengthened and we are left with a new confidence for ourselves. So all of us are witnesses to the Lord. He didn't argue with us, but warned us as he took us by the hand. So now as participating disciples, we try not to probe anyone into faith, not to force, not to argue, not to shame. We just attempt to show the doubters a bit of the glory we have seen. We may have had a part in the resurrection. And we simply invite them to meet the Master who can give them life and his peace. So what was new and what changes what happened when the Holy Spirit was coming? Certainly we can tell everyone of the resurrection life they can have. Along life's road, there are not only doubters but the corrupt and wicked. They are like Mary Magdalene. She had not only not been good, she had been possessed by seven devils. But Christ's forgiving love cast them out and set her free. Devils in our lives come by different names. But our reason Christ has set us free from all those demons that entrap our soul and enslave our lives. As rescued, redeemed, resurrected, forgiven disciples, we get to tell others how that came about. Remember that our witness to the failing and fallen wicked is one of loving concern. I read a story about a man who stood in front of the window of an art store, in which a picture of the crucifixion of our Lord was on display. He was gazing intently at the display, the bleeding, dying, suffering of the man on the middle cross had captured all his thought. And he was barely conscious of another person who stood beside him. Finally, turning around, he noticed a little boy with his eyes fixed upon the scene, standing there in shabby and torn clothes. The man thought he would see if the boy knew what the picture was about. So he said, son, do you know who that is? The child was quick to reply, yes, sir, pointing to the man on the middle of the cross. That's our Savior. With a bit of a pity in his voice, the boy eagerly told him the story of Jesus. So he continued, there are the soldiers pointing to the Romans who had nailed Christ to the cross. Then pointing to the women near the edge of the crowd, he said, that's his mother, see, the woman who is crying. He pushed his hands deep into his pockets as if waiting to see if the man wanted another answer about the scene. After a long silence, the boy said, yes, sir, that's Jesus. And they killed him. The man asked, where did you learn all this? And the boy replied, at Sunday school, sir. The man, with mingled feelings, turned once again to the crucifixion scene in the window. and after a moment slowly walked away. When the man hadn't walked more than 2 blocks, he heard the voice of a small boy crying, "Mister! Say, Mister!" Turning around, the man saw the same little lad running toward him. He was nearly out of breath, but when he reached him, he cried out delightedly and joyously, "I forgot to tell you, Jesus rose again. Mister, you know, he rose again. That's the most important part." As he says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Spirit comes to us, like Peter, who proclaimed all that God had done in Christ, we became witnesses of the resurrection of Christ. And that we can tell everyone of the good news that they can have the resurrection life. We are now made not just spectators, but participants. Joyful witnesses to a sick, doubting, wicked and dying world. That because Jesus lives, we live. And they can live also. Because Jesus lives, we live, and also everyone can live. Amen. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, our souls, and our lives with your breath of courage and good news. May we become new, and may we become a witness of the resurrection of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing another song, Blessed Be Assurance.
This is my Good morning. I'm Gloria, and I'm bringing this prayers for others this morning. So good morning and welcome to this time in our worship and praise of you, our gracious and loving God. This is the time of our prayers for others. You know, how good that as we pray, there are no specific words that need to be used or a set format to follow when we talk to you, loving Father. We can simply open our hearts and minds to you and let our mouths express our love for you, our thankfulness for all that you have done, are doing, and will do in our lives. We can ask you, Heavenly Father, to help those who need your help. By praying for them, we are endeavouring to follow God's guidance, that we are to be gentle in our love for others, in our grace to unbelievers, and in our daily interactions with everyone we encounter. Now these words of encouragement come from Matthew 5, verse 5. So let us now pray. Dear loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers. Now these are all according to your will, knowing that you do know what is best and that you will answer in your way and in your time. We thank you for answered prayer that encourages us to continue to place all of our concerns in your hands. We pray for patience as we wait upon your guidance. We pray for understanding, as so often our prayers are answered in many unexpected ways. May we always let our trust in you, our faith in you, sustain us through difficult times when answers don't seem to be forthcoming. Never forget God's love. Praise him for it. Thank him for it daily. Loving Father, we thank you for our families. We pray for your blessing, your guidance, and your love and care for them. We thank you and pray for our church family here at Lugano Peakhurst Uniting. You are indeed a great God, as you know the individual needs of our church family. So even if we don't know specific needs, you do. May your loving light shine on all of us, providing just whatever is needed. Loving Father, we give thanks and ask for blessings for Ilung, for Natalie, our church council, Pamela, the Georges River Presbytery, Richard, Beryl, and the families that support these people. We pray for all the outreach activities, mainly music, and for Messy Church this afternoon. Thank you for the planning and preparation by a great team. We pray that all the families that will come will enjoy the fun, the food and the fellowship, and that the Holy Spirit will open their hearts to your message. We continue our prayers for Bob and for Margaret. Oh, may they feel God's strength. Let us pause now to pray for those friends and neighbours that we know that are in need of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life of a dear friend, Ruth Benaya, a remarkable lady with many talents and interests unknown to us, as she had only a rather short time worshipping at Lugano Peakhurst Uniting. She did share with her family, though, how she did enjoy her time here. Her life reflected her love for you, Heavenly Father, a loving, generous lady. At this time, throughout the world, there are many countries suffering all sorts of terrible, troubling times. We do pray for your hand to be over the many, many people who are in need of protection, healing, and to the end of persecution. We continue to pray for all the people who work to protect us and to help us. So thank you, loving Father, for hearing our prayers today, yesterday, or last week. We do know that whenever we talk to you, you hear. Thank you for the abundance of blessings that we have from you, and help us to share these with all those who are in need of some care, some friendship, or simply a little time of thoughtfulness. And we do pray all this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus. Amen.
These are some of our announcements for today. Our message is held this afternoon from 4 p.m. and there will be lots of fun activities that may remind us that God helps us overcome challenges and any difficulties in our life. So if you have a kid or grandkids in your family, or if you know a friend who has a kid or grandkid, why don't you tell them or invite them to come to our mesh church and experience of a fun, always a family activity followed by a meal. And more information, contact via email or phone. High Tea and Fashion Parade is held on Saturday, 19th of June at 2 p.m. And now you can register with Annette or Lynn. And for information, all profits will go to support the scripture teaching at Pecost High School. To attend Sunday service at 10:15 a.m. at Lugano Pecost Unitarian Church here, everyone needs to register with a barrel via phones or email. This is a blessing. Sisters and brothers in Christ, go into the world. Realize the visions, fulfill the dreams, see new visions, dream new dreams. And as you go, know that the Holy Spirit is guiding you and encouraging you every step of the way. Amen. This is the end of today's online service. Thank you for your participation. Hope you have a very blessed day and blessed week. See you next week. I got no worries. Me.